Let us read the verses together in James chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. We can alternate. The brothers can begin, and then the sisters. James chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. Read it and mingle it with faith right away. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. And verse 12 together. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Amen. Amen. We want to pass the trials.
Amen. Herr, danke für dein Wort in diesen Tagen.
Thank you for your word in these days. Thank you that you have brought us together to hear your speaking. We praise you, Lord, that you are not only bringing your churches on, but that you also want to perfect them, and that the goal of this conference is the perfection of your churches. We pray that your word would fall on good ground in all the hearts, and that we would receive your word with meekness and bear much fruit. Lord, bless us all. Give us all an ear to hear your voice. And Lord, above all, make us not only hearers but doers of your word. We praise you also for the glorious goal that you have with us. Amen. Praise the Lord for this conference. It is a continuation of the winter conference, which was in Hebrews chapters 11 to 13. And it's not only because James follows Hebrews, but because the Lord wants to continue speaking to us about this wonderful faith that brings forth so many works of faith and fruits. So James chapter 1 continues with what we have heard in December. It speaks of the faith. And it is nice, last night it was already said that James is a special epistle because he spoke so clearly and so straightforward that it even hurts sometimes. But it depends on how you read it. If you read as one who is hungry for more of the Lord and who wants to be perfected, then it really is an enjoyment. Then we enjoy this clear, piercing word. But as we were told last night, many believers don't like this epistle. And this is how it is in our old man. We like to have sweet and pleasant words. That's not the case with James. But he speaks very straightforwardly. But we need such a word in this time. What's the use if the Lord speaks so many sweet and meek words and we remain the same? And nothing changes with us. And in the end, as James also mentioned, we would deceive ourselves because we heard so much and we have brought almost nothing or very little fruit. So this is why the Lord wants to speak to us through this epistle to show us clearly what he wants to do and how to reach that goal. And last night it was good to see a key phrase was, without trials, there is no furtherance of spiritual life. James doesn't have an introduction or a careful beginning, but he starts right away. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. That's a very direct and strong beginning. Why? Because we truly need trials to be tested and to grow and to go on. And we really have to have the goal before our eyes to see what's going on. How can you be joyful when you're going through a trial? Actually, you can't. But through the Lord and by faith, we are learning how to do that. How can you do that? Only if you have the goal before your eyes. If you see why you're being tested or why the trial is there. What was also mentioned is even if you're doing an apprenticeship or you're studying or different things in your human life, why do you do those things to yourself? Why do you do the trials or go through the tests? Because you see the goal and you know there's a graduation and you realize that if you don't pass this test, you won't reach the goal. So we also must have the goal before our eyes. And the wonderful thing is that James, at the very beginning, shows us what the goal is. In verse 4, he already says that we should be made perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And then in verse 12, he shows us a wonderful goal, namely that we must receive the crown of life. And that's so wonderful. He's not just speaking about trial and enduring and suffering and leaves it there, but he also shows us what the goal is immediately, which is to receive the crown of life. Praise the Lord. This is really wonderful. We have to see this. God wants to give us believers the crown of life. And crown, the word crown is meaningful. Who gets the crown? Everybody knows that a king gets the crown, and nobody else. The crown is reserved for the king. Nobody else carries a crown on his head. And here it says that the reward at the end is the crown of life. That shows that James also had the view that God wants to make us into kings. And this is what we've had more fellowship about in the past. On the one hand, we have been called to be priests. On the other hand, we've been called to be kings. Today, God has already made us into kings and priests. But it's nice to have a calling to be a king, but you have to reach it. You can't just say, I've been called, and the word said, I've been called to be a king, so now I'm a king. That would be nice if it was that easy, but no. A king, just as a priest, needs to have an apprenticeship. Even though we've received the Lord and though he lives in us, and although we have this calling, which we really do have, and although we already have the standing, we still have to mature and we have to grow into it and to be trained by the Lord. And I believe if we look into our daily living, it becomes very clear that this is how it really is. How often does our self rule over us, or our flesh. We just do whatever we please. We think whatever comes into our head. And it's hard to live and reign through life. That shows that we need an apprenticeship, a training, a practice. You are not a king overnight. Even an earthly king needs a training and a period of maturing. How much more for us if we are to be kings with Christ in the coming kingdom, full of righteousness and peace? And some have this concept that when the Lord comes, then he's just going to take us and suddenly we'll be kings. But it's not that simple. Today is the apprenticeship, the training. And that's why James shows us that the trials which we fall into, and there are various trials, they have a goal, which is to give us the crown of life, which he has promised to those who love him. We love the Lord. But if we love the Lord, then we also must go through trials to be kings. And praise the Lord. Today we are really in a kingly apprenticeship. God is preparing us today and is training us to be kings who will rule and reign with him in the coming kingdom. This is wonderful. This is the goal that James is already showing us here. The goal for us believers is not to go to heaven, even though 99% of the Christians believe that. This is not the goal that the Bible is showing us, but the Bible shows us that the kingdom of God comes from God onto the earth, and Jesus Christ will reign here on the earth, not in heaven, but on earth. And he does not want to reign by himself alone, but together with the overcomers, the first fruits. And that is the goal of the trials. And James 1, verse 18 mentions another goal again, or mentions again the goal that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We must be first fruits who are maturing today. It is the first fruits who will reign with Christ. And James chapter 2, verse 5 shows us a similar verse as chapter 1, verse 12, another promise to those who love him. It says, "Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him?" Praise the Lord. Do you see how James has the goal that we should inherit the kingdom? God wants to give us the coming kingdom as an inheritance. Psalm chapter 2 already says that, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance." And James also shows us this. That's why we must really have this goal before our eyes, especially if we fall into various trials. How can we reach that goal? Then we really have to learn to say in the trial, "Lord, thank you for the trial." How can we do that? Of course, it's not because the trial is so wonderful, but it's because we have the goal before our eyes. And we can say, "Lord, thank you. You really want to give me the crown of life. You really want to give me the kingdom as an inheritance." We have to recognize God's love, the love of the Father behind the trial. He wants to give us the kingdom, and that's such a privilege. And especially, we are unprofitable servants, and still God wants to give us his kingdom. This is too wonderful. Praise the Lord. That's why whenever we fall into various trials, and we learn that we will fall into them, let us have this view to see the goal. And this is how the Lord also was in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We saw this in the winter. How could Jesus Christ endure the cross? Not because the cross was so pleasant, but Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Even the Lord saw the joy that would come after the trial, and that strengthened him to endure and to persevere and to gain patience, as James also said. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, it says that the chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, after the chastening, we have to see what is coming after the chastening, what's going to be worked through it. Afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Praise the Lord. The trials are there to bring forth fruit. The trials that God is sending us is not to have us fail. The enemy will try to tempt us and make us fail and fall. But God is testing us to perfect us. This is the reason and the goal of the trial. When we're in the trial, don't think, oh no, I'm going to fall for sure. I'm going to fail. This is not God's purpose. God's purpose is to bring us through the trials and to bear forth a fruit. And what encouraged me last night is that God will give us exactly that trial for which we are prepared. He will never give us a trial that is too difficult or too high for us. This is wonderful. That's why we should never think, oh, I'm not going to make it. We have to learn to purge out this thought, because God will always give us the perfect trial for where we are standing. So let us take the trial and look upon the Lord and go through the trial with Him and the goal, and have the goal that we will be kings. And James shows us another thing that we need, especially need, as we go through the trials. James chapter 1, verse 5, James suddenly talks about wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, maybe if we're not in the trial, then we don't have such a consciousness that we are lacking wisdom. We think, oh, everything is going fine in my daily life. I can manage everything. But at the very latest, when you fall into a trial, then you realize, oh, I am lacking wisdom. And I'm going to read verse 5 in a different translation, a New Evangelist translation. It shows us clearly that this wisdom is correlated with the trial. So many times we think 5 isolated in a way, but we have to realize that it really has to do with the trials. And in this translation, it says that let patience have its perfect work. You should come to a mature place where you're lacking nothing. And it says in verse 5, if none of you know how to do that, if you see this high goal that we should be kings, perfect and complete, lacking nothing, then you should ask yourself, how am I going to do that? And often when you're in the trial, you have this question, what should I do now? And for this, we need wisdom. And wisdom is different than knowledge. Wisdom is not knowledge. You can have a lot of knowledge, but that does not mean that in the trial and in the situation, you will know what to do. It's not the same thing. In 1 Kings chapter 3, it's written of Solomon's request of God, which he asked for wisdom. And then the first situation arrived where this wisdom was tested. And these two moms came to him, and both had a child, and one child died, and they both fought of who the living child belonged to. What would you do in such a situation? There are two people, and they both are claiming the same thing, and you know that at least one person is lying. But surely, not both are speaking the truth. What are you going to do? What do you need? You need wisdom. No knowledge can help you. You can have all the knowledge in the world, but when you're in such a situation, you'll ask yourself, what am I going to do? And this is wisdom. So wisdom means that in every situation, you know what you need to do, or you need to say that is the ability in every situation to have the right word or to do the right thing. And that truly is not easy. That's why we really have to say, if any of you lacks wisdom, we have to confess to the Lord, we are lacking wisdom. We have gathered so much knowledge in the past years, and yet we often don't know what to do and what we should do with our time, or if there's a problem, what should we say? That's why we really need wisdom. And it's important that we recognize our lack. And we will especially recognize that when we're going through the trials. And that's what happens to me. At the very latest, when I'm in the trial, I'll call to the Lord, Lord, what should I do? Then all my knowledge doesn't help me, and I have to pray, Lord, give me wisdom from above. And the Word encourages us. And this morning, we should all be very encouraged to ask of God richly. It's so wonderful what it says here. Let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. Is that not wonderful? God gives to all, and not just a little bit for that situation, but liberally. And he does it without reproach. That means if you are asking God for wisdom, he won't first accuse you of asking, why didn't you ask me earlier? Or why were you still so foolish and stubborn yesterday? That's how we are as human beings. If somebody comes with a problem that he brought upon himself, then we might say, oh, what did you do? You should have known better. It's your own fault. That's how we are. But God is not like that. It says here, God gives without reproach. If we are in a situation and we repent and ask the Lord, Lord, I am lacking wisdom, but I come to you. Father, please give me wisdom. The Father will not just wait 10 minutes. He'll tell you right away, finally, finally somebody's coming to me and asking for wisdom. And he will give it liberally. And James says, and it will be given to him. And we really have to see this, brothers and sisters. Our Father would love to give us wisdom. Why? Because that will help. Because he wants us to get through the test and he wants us to be victorious in the trial. But he knows without wisdom it will not function. And we must really ask him a lot. And verse 17 is also fitting to this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. The Father wants to give us so much, especially wisdom, that we might be able to go through the trial. And in the weeks before the conference, I really practiced this. And I can encourage you that we should really practice then in every situation to ask wisdom of God, not just in the big problems, but in our daily life, in everything that we encounter. And not to think, oh, in this and this thing, I can manage by myself, but please only help me with this thing because it's a little more difficult. No, even in the things that we're used to doing, even when I go to work in the morning, it's good to ask the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom. When I go to work, I don't just want to do my work, I want to gain Christ. And I also want to know what to say the right words at the right time to the people around me. We need wisdom from above for that. That's why we shouldn't wait till we're in the most difficult trial, but we should practice daily to ask God for wisdom. And to ask in faith with no doubting. And then faith is also talked about, as we saw in Hebrews. If we ask for wisdom, then we should also count on him that he's going to give it to us, and we should go on boldly. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. Amen. And it's good to see that the Holy Spirit has this wisdom. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, This Spirit of the Lord is described. And the first point is the Spirit of wisdom. In the Spirit that God has given to us and that He wants to fill us more with, there is wisdom. And Paul also prayed like this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. He said he prayed for the saints that God would give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation to know Him more. It is such a wonderful prayer. Let us have such a prayer for one another that we wouldn't, let us not just pray that it would be well with us or that this and that problem would quickly be solved, but let us learn to pray for wisdom for one another. If we know that someone is going through a trial, the natural man would pray so fast, oh, take him out of that trial quickly. But maybe God doesn't want to take him out, but He wants him to endure through the trial and to be tested. Let us pray, Lord, give him a spirit of wisdom and revelation that he or she will know what to do and will gain you. And it says here, to know Him more and more. That means this wisdom doesn't always show us that we would know what to do, but the goal is that we would know Christ more, that we would abound in that. In our daily situations, at work, we should ask the Father, Lord, Father, show me how I can work. In my family life, show me how I can be in my routine. I don't just want to have a routine day in and day out, but I want to know Him more. This is the goal of the trial, that we would gain Christ. And for this, we need a spirit of wisdom and revelations. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, he prayed that again. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, at the end, that we would be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wow, what a good prayer. Let us also pray that for one another, that we would be filled, not with just a little bit of wisdom, but let us ask of God, and when He gives liberally. So let us ask liberally that we would be filled with this wisdom, with spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, with the knowledge of His will. We also have to pray this to the Father. Father, we want to know Your will. Show me Your will in this trial, in this problem. This is really good. Amen. And at the end, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, we see what the wisdom is. It says, in whom Christ, in whom all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. In Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The question is, do you want to discover these treasures? Do you want to dig out these treasures? So let us ask the Lord richly. In these days, let us practice this right away, and also in the future, to ask the Lord for wisdom from above, especially that we would be pass the test, that we would endure through the trial and gain Christ.